a Canadian man is captured after an expensive cross-country. Gates wants to cancel the Raptor and the VH-71. And KCX politics continue. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, April 7th, 2009. Late last evening, CNN reported the capture and arrest of Yavuz Burk, a Turkish-born Canadian citizen who officials say took a Cessna 172 from the flight line at Confederation College in Thunder Bay, Ontario, flew across the U.S. border without contacting ATC, attracted a dual F-16 escort, and failed to answer 15 hails on the radio. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security reports that after a flight of several hours, which at one point triggered the evacuation of the Wisconsin state capital at Madison, Burk landed the plane on a highway near Elsinore, Missouri. You can get the latest updates on the case at arrow-news.net. The defense industry has been on pins and needles waiting for word, and yesterday the word came. Saying he would have made the same decisions regardless of the economy, Defense Secretary Robert Gates recommended halting further funding for production of the F-22A Raptor and ending development of the controversial VH-71 presidential helicopter replacement. The Associated Press reports Gates termed the $534 billion defense budget a fundamental overhaul in how the Pentagon goes about procuring new weapons systems, and a shift in strategy from conventional warfare to insurgent conflicts like Iraq and Afghanistan. President Obama's nominee to become the Pentagon's next acquisition chief was stalled last week by two Alabama senators who threatened to hold up the confirmation of Ashton Carter until Defense Secretary Robert Gates meets their demands for what they call an open and transparent bidding process for a new Air Force aerial tanker. Citing unnamed sources, Defense News reports Alabama Senators Richard Shelby and Jeff Sessions wrote separate letters demanding a fair and competitive bidding process when KCX is rebid for the third time. They also noted such a competition would seemingly favor the KC-30 proposed by Northrop Grumman and Eads, saying it represents the best value for the U.S. Air Force. Coincidentally, a plant in Alabama would get some of the assembly work. The letters may have little effect on the timing of Carter's confirmation. Congress is in recess till April 20th. Airshow pilot and vintage aircraft enthusiast Robert Baranaskis was lost while practicing for an upcoming airshow over the Atlantic Ocean off Fire Island, New York, Sunday afternoon. Newsday reports the 61-year-old pilot departed Brookhaven Calabro Airport in his vintage Curtiss P-40 Warhawk shortly after 1 p.m. Sunday afternoon to practice over the Atlantic just offshore from Smith Point County Park. An apparent stall spin led to the plane crashing into the ocean about 300 yards offshore. The pilot's son, 28-year-old Chris Baranaskis, was on the beach and witnessed the fatal crash. As of our deadline, debris had been recovered, but no body. Watch for updates at arrow-news.net. Former Garuda Indonesia pilot Marwoto Komar says he'll appeal a guilty verdict handed down by an Indonesian court on charges of criminal negligence in the notorious crash landing of a 737 at Yogyakarta in March of 2007. Investigators have testified that cockpit recordings reveal Komar was singing rather than observing sterile cockpit rules as he descended from 10,000 feet. They also say he ignored 15 automated warnings and several from his co-pilot that he was way too fast on approach. The plane skidded off the runway and into a rice paddy and burst into flames, resulting in 21 passenger deaths. AFP News reports Komar wore his uniform to court to hear his 2-year prison sentence announced, despite being forced from his job about a year ago. He still blames defective flaps for the crash. Investigators say they were working fine. Up next on ANN, NASA waits anxiously for a new leader. March airline passenger counts are flat to down, and it's a rough time to be a union negotiator. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 7. I'm Paul Plack. Delays by the Obama administration in naming a permanent leader for NASA are reportedly bringing frustration and anxiety to both agency planners and U.S. lawmakers. Christopher Scalise took over on a temporary basis January 20th when former NASA administrator and lightning rod Michael Griffin stepped down. The Washington Post reports the White House has twice called off announcing a nominee because of opposition from members of Congress with influence over space policy. Senator Bill Nelson, a Florida Democrat, has lobbied openly for Marine General Charles Bolden as a candidate. Nelson recently commented, quote, "I am frustrated because I don't know what the delay is," unquote. A favorite among space bloggers is said to be former Texas Congressman Nick Lamson, who lost his bid for re-election in November. Lamson tells the Post he hasn't been contacted. Space program observers note NASA must continuously make decisions with implications that play out over years or decades. At a recent appearance in Florida, President Obama commented, quote, "I think it's fair to say that there's been a sense of drift to our space program over the last several years," unquote. After campaigning for a five-year delay in NASA's new manned program to divert funding to education, Obama later reversed himself at a campaign appearance in Florida. More recently, his 2009 federal budget appeared to keep existing programs moving forward, but then the president's called for a complete evaluation of NASA's goals. The indecision has led space policy analysts to question whether it's really NASA's agenda that's adrift or the president's. Scott Pace, director of George Washington University's Space Policy Institute, observes, quote, "What does he mean by adrift? It's adrift until the president gets comfortable with it," unquote. The recent voluntary grounding of regional jets by Atlantic Southeast Airlines evoked memories of last year's harsh actions against Southwest and American Airlines over maintenance and documentation issues. So, will we see another spring travel season marred by the strandings of tens of thousands of passengers due to FAA action? The Dallas Morning News reports the FAA is trying to avoid such a recurrence. The paper notes American Airlines, based in Fort Worth, recently discovered its mechanics had incorrectly reassembled pieces of a thrust reverser. But instead of again shutting down hundreds of flights, the airline and the agency agreed on a process which avoided disrupting the public's travel plans. John Allen, FAA Director of Flight Standards Service, says the agency has learned a lot. Quote, "The winner is the American public. They get to not have aircraft grounded and impact their flying schedule, as occurred last spring," unquote. It was feared by some that claims the FAA had become too cozy with the airlines it's charged with regulating would result in more aggressive action this year, threatening the reliability of airlines. But Allen says the FAA is preparing a report that will provide guidance to inspectors in judging the seriousness of a violation. American and Southwest have both released their passenger counts for the month of March. Southwest Airlines announced Monday it flew 6.7 billion revenue passenger miles in March, essentially flat compared to March of last year. The bad news was revenue for each seat decreased in the 10 to 11% range, meaning each passenger mile is bringing in substantially less revenue. American did much worse. On Friday, that airline reported a March load factor of 79.2%. That's a decrease of 4.8% from a year ago. Traffic decreased 10.9% and capacity was down 5.6% year over year. American said domestic traffic decreased 10.6% on 8.2% less capacity. But American's international traffic, which a few months ago was thought to be its hedge against a faltering U.S. economy, dropped 11.6% on a capacity decrease of just 1.1%. An economic recession which has brought 75,000 layoffs at U.S. airlines is providing a tough environment for airline union negotiators. USA Today reports many unions are currently engaged in their first contract negotiations since the troubled post-9/11 days and had hoped to regain wages and benefits lost during that troubled time. Talks have begun, or are about to, at United, Continental, U.S. Airways, AirTran, Southwest, and Alaska Airlines. American Airlines has failed to reach agreements with its unions in talks that date back to last year. American's pilot union has threatened disruption of the schedule, and the union representing its mechanics and baggage handlers have run ads calling out airline executives for their stock bonuses. One analyst suggests that one way for airlines to tie employee compensation more closely to the performance of companies would be a compensation plan featuring modest base pay, plus bonuses when a company prospers. Despite its faint resemblance to recently controversial executive compensation plans at financial institutions, Washington-based consultant and former airline exec Jerry Glass tells the paper both sides would be better served. Quote, In an industry like this that's always under pressure, it's a common sense approach, unquote. Still ahead, Obama reacts to North Korea's missile launch. Lance Air says the Evolution has done well under pressure. And the cost of becoming a controller is now under a dollar. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, April 7th. I'm Paul Plack. In Europe Sunday, President Barack Obama strongly criticized Sunday's failed missile launch by North Korea. North Korean state television celebrated what it claimed was the successful orbital insertion of a satellite Sunday. The U.S. military, however, says the three-stage Taipodong 2 rocket overflew Japan, failed to achieve orbit, and fell into the Pacific Ocean without causing any damage. The president was informed of the launch while in the Czech Republic on Sunday. He called the launch provocative and a violation of UN Security Council rules. Quote, "Rules must be binding. Violations must be punished. Words must mean something. The world must stand together to prevent the spread of these weapons. Now is the time for a strong international response," unquote. International diplomats are engaged in six-party talks to persuade North Korea to give up its nuclear weapons program in order to avoid a nuclear arms race across the region. High-performance kit plane manufacturer Lancair International reports completion of a lengthy series of pressurization tests of its new Evolution aircraft. The company's statement reads, in part, quote, "The testing cycle surpassed by twofold the aircraft's design requirement," unquote. The test pressure vessel is a fully conforming production unit, including the main cabin and cargo doors, firewall, and aft bulkheads. The Evolution is designed for a 6 PSI differential. That's enough to maintain 8,500-foot cabin pressure at 28,000 feet. Lancair says the vessel was tested to 12 PSI differential and was cycled repeatedly through increasing and decreasing pressure. Lancair introduced the Evolution at AirVenture 2007, then showed the plane to the public for the first time last year at Lakeland. How much trouble is the FAA having in recruiting new air traffic controllers? Would you believe you can now become a controller just by handing over 99 cents? Well, okay, not a real one. Flight Control is a new app for the iPhone, just out from software developer FireMint. As aircraft enter your airspace, you have to direct airliners to the long runway, small planes to the short runway, and helicopters to the helipad. The game starts out simple but gets more challenging as the amount of air traffic on your screen increases. The game ends with the first mid-air collision. The company says the game started as a personal project for FireMint CEO Robert Murray over Christmas break, but it was such a hit within his team that it was developed for public release. Helping spread the word is Jason Parker, a blogger on CNET. Quote, "I downloaded this game a week ago, and I still keep coming back to try to get a new high score. Flight Control is both incredibly challenging and very addicting, and definitely worth the 99-cent price tag," unquote. And finally today, the Bombardier CRJ-200 isn't a fave of passengers, but if you're a small airline on a tight budget, there's a lot to love. Air Wisconsin announced last week it recently completed its 1 millionth revenue flight on CRJ-200s. This is the first aircraft type Air Wisconsin operated a million times since the company began service in 1965. When the CRJ-200 entered service in February of 1999, Air Wisconsin was averaging 228 departures a day, and just over 83,000 a year. Today, with its fleet of 70 CRJ-200s, the company flies almost 500 revenue flights a day and 165,000 per year. The airline says it's now flown more than 36 million passengers on the CRJ-200. CEO Jim Rankin thanked his team. Quote, "We're pleased to reach this achievement while providing excellent service to our customers and our partner, U.S. Airways." Unquote. Air Wisconsin is the largest privately held regional airline in the United States and has operated its CRJ fleet as U.S. Airways Express since establishing the partnership in 2005. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, NBAA President Ed Bolin responds to pro-user fee comments from the Reason Foundation's Bob Poole in last Wednesday's special feature. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.